Each week, nearly a dozen movies are released theatrically. 40 films a month, more than 400 a year. That's a plethora of cinema. Too much cinema. You'd have to be an addict to see all that. But don't fret. We've got you covered. This is Cinematics.
Hey everyone, what's up? It's another week, a new week of Cinematics, episode 237. Our job every week is to find, hopefully, some cinematic gems that you guys can watch in the theaters or maybe watch on digital on demand. We have some really, hopefully, interesting movies, one involving losing one's senses called Disappear Completely. That's a movie I'm really excited to talk to Eric Holmes. Hello, Eric Holmes. How are you?
Not bad. A little tired. Pretty good otherwise.
How many interviews have you done within the last week, maybe? Or maybe the last 24 hours? 48 hours? Three, four? Oh, well,
so I did one today, and then I'll do two more tomorrow.
Okay.
So, yeah. It's not the interviews that are tough. It's the, hey, can you do this on Friday? Cool. All right, I'll throw an extra movie in there. But
it's a good problem to have. It's a very good problem to have. Bruce Perky, your last 7 days. I make it a point not to talk to Eric and Bruce, and they make a point to not talk. We don't talk to each other. We don't like each other. Only every 7 days when we congregate for this hour and a half. Right, Bruce? We're not friends. Are we friends? You and
I
me?
Like what, you. Maybe.
Oh, maybe. I'm kidding. Bruce, how's last week been? How's it been for you?
Good. I saw some pretty great movies. And ooh. I saw a few that were, I'm looking back and let me move some pages around here.
Yeah, move them.
Audio spackle.
It's good.
I don't think I saw anything terrible, and I saw some great movies. So there you go.
Oh, okay. Last week, Bruce the Butcher was butchering some movies. Look, the movies themselves were butchered. So Bruce can actually say he's not doing the butchering. It's the movie's fault, not Bruce's fault. He levied some really low ratings last week. Check out episode 236 for further reference, but there might be some really interesting movies this week with a week ending Friday, April 12th. I mean, that depends how you look at it. Glass half full, glass half empty. I like to say ending. Week ending Friday, April 12th. We have Disappear Completely. Yannick, which Eric went over last week a little bit, but Bruce saw it. A psychological thriller called In Flames, a Samuel L. Jackson film. I'm going to go solo for this one. It's called Damaged. Samuel L. Jackson, very interesting movie. We're going to get to that. Last but definitely not least is a Nicolas Cage movie called Arcadian. So those are our features. And then for our recommends, Bruce and I will, especially Bruce, will cover his love or maybe dislike. Who knows? Maybe he's neutral for this critically acclaimed film called The Zone of Interest. All right. Before we get started with our features, Bruce, what can you tell us about this month's Patreon for the bonus episode?
Yeah. So 1986, I was actually trying to find the poll that I put up and I have to go, I should have pinned it to the top of the page so I could find it easier, but it's buried somewhere in the cinematic site. And I put three or four movies up there to see what people were interested in possibly having us talk about. And I think I'm trying to remember now. See, I put up Little Shop of Horrors, Night of the Creeps, and do you guys remember what else I put up there? I put like four movies. Armor of God.
Never heard of that one.
I believe that's a martial arts movie.
Okay.
From that year that I've never seen. And then I put up something else. I forget what the other movie was. If I remember correctly, I think Night of the Creeps might be winning, but I haven't looked in a couple days, so I'll have to pull. If you are interested in voting on that, either you can vote on the ones that are there. You can add a movie to the poll if you want. You could email me directly at bruceperky@gmail.com. You could post on the page, you guys are crazy, 1986, you should do this movie. And then maybe that will be the movie that I pick as one of our movies. And maybe I'll just pick the top two, you know, because if you guys are voting on them, that's what we like to have for the second movie anyway. So either way, your movie might get talked about on our next Patreon.
Okay, so this is our bonus episode for Patreon for the month of April. It is Bruce Perky's show to run. I like that idea. Top two picks and get into the show instead of me, Bruce, and Eric have rotating picks. I like that. I like that approach. Who knows? Maybe if those two picks are interesting, we might go for it. So we're spotlighting the year 1986 for this month's Patreon. $5 catch-all. We do a lot of different stuff. We also do spoilers. We might do a very quick spoiler at the end of this recording for this movie called Disappear Completely. So that will be available early access for our Cinematics Patreon members. That will be Patreon members, you will have that disappear completely spoiler stuff in your box, in your Patreon feed by Friday.
Can I quickly update? I found my post.
All right, sir.
Here's everything that's up there so far, and I'll give you the top two so far. All right, so I Little Shop of Horrors, Sid and Nancy, Night of the Creeps, Armor of God, and added to it by listeners or by people on the Cinematics page is Something Wild, The Mosquito Coast, and Maximum Overdrive. Currently, the top two are Night of the Creeps is still number one, and then number two is currently Little Shop of Horrors, but close behind are Maximum Overdrive, Mosquito Coast, both at 12%. Well, actually, Sid and Nancy has 13%. So it's really neck and neck for number two. So this is your chance to either name one you want or to add your votes to one of those.
I have a very bad thing to say about the Mosquito Coast. I still love Harrison Ford. Back in the 80s, I saw Witness in the theaters, loved it. When the Mosquito Coast came out, I said to myself, oh, I can't see it in theaters, but I'll definitely watch it. It's been almost 40 years. I haven't seen The Mosquito Coast. And I even reminded myself when I had a chance to interview Peter Weir 15 years ago, like, oh, he was directing a movie called The Way Back. I think it's called The Way Back. And then I said to myself, wow, after this interview, I'm going to go home and watch my DVD of The Mosquito Coast. Fortunately, I traded that DVD in for either cash or some other DVD. And it's still, so my personal pick would be The Mosquito Coast because I still haven't seen it. But Bruce, you have so many great choices available for our Patreon members. Yes, Eric Holmes.
Yes. So last week we did the Famously Anonymous. I don't have one for this week, but Joseph Bridges emailed me, and I will do that next week. Joseph Bridges understood the assignment. It's going to be a good one. So just teasing that for next week.
No, I have this. Look, first of all, I might have to ban Joseph Bridges because I have this controversial theory that Joseph Bridges is the puppet master for the Cinematics and Middle Class Film Class podcast because he incepts our Facebook group with all these movie recommendations. And Eric, do you remember what recent movie recommendation absolutely from Joseph Bridges infiltrated our group? Well, he's not an infiltrator, he's a member, but he absolutely pulled so much sway and influence. What was that Joseph Bridges recent pick, which led?
The recent one was The Artifice Girl. The most memorable one, ironically enough, I can't remember the title, but the one with the dog and Vincent Price was, was that him? Or, and then he had that Power Rangers-esque one.
Right. Joseph Bridges.
Artifice Girl was actually a good movie. So
I have to get in touch with the director of The Artifice Girl. I definitely want him to be on Cinematics coming up. By the way, The Artifice Girl, it's streaming everywhere. If you guys haven't seen it, all of us love this movie and hopefully we'll get the director on Cinematics shortly. Eric, you are wrong, because the most recent Joseph Bridges pick is, if I recall, he did a review of a movie called The Hip Hop Witch, and you'll be reviewing that in our other episode.
If we're talking about future ones, then we haven't done yet, then yeah.
Oh, yeah, we haven't done yet. But Joseph Bridges, congratulations. You are really, and I think the Middle Class Film Class guys, I think they reviewed The Hip Hop Witch on a recent episode, or maybe the latest episode on MCFC.
That seemed to take the Cinematic Facebook by storm.
Which one?
Twitter, I've just been seeing, like, someone mentioned Hip Hop, which I'm like, okay. And then it just would not die.
Yes.
Bruce Perky. Everyone seems to be watching it, so I was like, I'll check it out.
Bruce Perky, you gave it
a talk about how much a voice it's fun that much.
you tried that train, that the Hip Hop Witch train. Recently, how many minutes did you give it?
I give it about 20 minutes. I dipped my toe in it. And as I said on the feed, I am too close. I am on the other side of the hill, and I only have so much time to give to terrible movies, and that has a little bit too much time.
Well, Bruce, right. I can tell you, it's just more of that.
That's what I figured. And I was like, okay, I get this. I don't need any more of this.
Okay, we'll be talking about, or actually Eric will be talking about, The Hip Hop Witch on the second episode that will air later this week. I have not actually been uploading a lot of Eric's interviews on the Cinematics podcast feed. I usually upload it for our YouTube channel, our Cinematics YouTube channel, but now I'm going to go back to actually doing both for our YouTube channel and for our podcast feed. So check out more of Eric later this week, and we'll also have more of our recommendations as well on that second episode, because for this episode, we have so much stuff to get to. First one, being sort of a mini rewind, it's called Yannick. It's directed by Quentin Dupieux. Eric gave his review last week, his mini review last week, and he's going to be talking about it this week again with Bruce Perky. Bruce Perky, this is an absurdist tale, and it centers on the relationship between artists and audiences. What can you tell our listeners about Yannick? Maybe if they haven't listened last week, it's currently streaming on Mubi. What, you're a fan? Were you a fan of this, of the director? Were you a fan of this movie as well?
I was a fan of this movie. Once again, to kind of, well, first of all, it's like most of Quentin's movies, or Quentin, I don't know how you say it. Either way,
Quentin.
his movies tend to be pretty short. This one, I think, if I remember, we figured it out was like, was it just over an hour? An hour and 10 minutes, maybe, or something like
I
that?
think it was like an hour and like 15 seconds until like the credits started
Oh, until the
rolling.
credits. Yeah. So it's basically an hour long. So it's, you could almost call it an episode of TV or something, but it is its own thing. The basic concept, once again, to restate it very briefly, there is a play being put on. You are watching this play. It's a relationship play with three people, and there seems to be like a possible, love triangle or something going on there, and you're getting to the point where it's coming to a head. Yannick, who just happens to be an audience member, stands up and just kind of basically protests in the middle of this play, saying, "You know what? This is boring. This is tedious. We deserve better than this. This is my only day off this week, and I'm a security guard. My time is valuable, and I come here, and this is what I get." And if you want to know a little more where it goes from there, Eric does go in a little more detail. But let's just say, the line between audience and performer gets aggressively blurred by Yannick himself.
I mean,
And
there is no line.
he steps around it, across it, smudges it out with his foot, and destroys it with a flamethrower. I don't know. And what it becomes is this, yeah, like you said, it's basically this kind of this interesting idea of like, in modern culture, once again, Eric pointed this out that, everyone's a critic. We're critics. Hey, there you go. But I mean, everyone's a critic, right? You get Twitter feeds, or you something goes crazy, and you get like something goes viral, and everyone's gonna chime in with their opinion. Everyone's opinion counts, but this is kind of taking it to the nth degree where it's like, okay, you go out to see a play or, watch a production, and one person in the audience decides they don't like it and they're going to control what that is. You could also look at this as could be a metaphor for, I don't know, political stuff too. I'm sure there's something there if you want it. But whatever it is, it's a really interesting social experiment, and it forces you to kind of take sides. And if you're like me, I don't know, I think Eric might be in a similar boat. You keep going back and forth. Like you'll kind of hate Yannick at one point, but you'll hate the people on stage at some points. And at some points you'll kind of go like, well, Yannick has a point, but wait a second, he's, hijacking everyone's evening. And then, so this interplay is really, really interesting and engaging. It's often funny. It's got that awkward energy as well, which you would expect in something like that, because it's kind of this social situation that's all of a sudden being upended in a way that you don't expect to see in life. I quite enjoyed it. I will add one little thing and then get Eric's kind of bigger feelings about it. But I was reading the trivia, and the trivia was really interesting on this movie. I don't know if Eric looked into it. So we wondered, because originally Eric thought, oh, this is his Dolly movie, but it wasn't his Dolly movie. So apparently what happened is he finished Smoking Causes Coughing, and they were in pre-production on Dolly, and he had this idea, and he was afraid that if he actually announced that he was doing this, that the people who were investing in Dolly would be upset that he was putting his attentions other way, in another place. So he basically did it in secret over like 10 days. He just produced this thing in secret over 10 days. And then once, and then, so they didn't almost announce it to anybody until right before they released it, essentially. And the first week it was out, if you could prove that you were named at birth Yannick, you got to see it for free. So anyone named Yannick was allowed into the audience of this movie, which I thought that was kind of cool too. Anyway,
They allowed to
pretty,
hijack the show.
you know, I mean, I see he's asking for
If
trouble
it
there
was
by having
anyone else, I'd be pissed, but I mean, we're watching Yannick, I'll let it go.
he's letting all the Yannicks in the audience, so who knows what happened there. But yeah, it's pretty interesting stuff.
Yeah, Eric, so you reviewed it last week, and it's been a week since. Is this movie still effective? Any final thoughts before we get to Bruce's rating?
I thought it was maybe I mentioned it last time. I can't remember what all I said. My brain's more mushy than usual today. But I do remember he was like when Yannick spoke out and started hijacking the show. It was right at the part when they're about to find out what's in the refrigerator. And I don't know if you call that a MacGuffin or not, but it's like, this is boring. I'm like, oh, what's in there?
Right.
I mean, I guess the answer is it doesn't matter because that's not the point. But it was an interesting place for Yannick to finally just stop the show.
All right, Eric, what was your rating for last week again?
I believe it was 5, if not
All right.
6.9. It was really high. I liked it a lot.
Okay, 5 stars from Eric. Bruce, your rating on Yannick.
I think I'd go 4.5, and I think I would love to hear other people like really diving deep on this because I feel like this is one of those movies that people could really project all different kinds of symbolic meanings onto it as well if they wanted to. And it wouldn't be wrong, I don't think, because it's open for that kind of stuff. But if you just take it at face value, it's also quite interesting.
Okay, now I
go
think
ahead.
it could be like one of those movies, kind of like what you're saying, where someone does the kind of things that Yannick does, like they do that online, and then they'll probably get offended by this movie. It's like, it's talking about me. It's like, well, I mean, if the shoe fits, don't be pissed about it. Just change the way you approach things.
All right, so high marks for Yannick from Eric, 5 stars from Eric, or 6.9, however you want to label that rating, that high rating from Eric. And Bruce Perky gave it 4.5 stars. Again, Yannick streaming on Mubi. Next up is Disappear Completely. This movie's interesting, set in Mexico, I believe. It centers on a tabloid crime photographer played by actor Harold Torres. This photographer, he has a mysterious illness that is making him gradually lose his 5 senses. Why is this happening to him? Maybe it might be bad karma because this crime photographer, he's really aiming to get his own gallery showing of his morbid, tabloidy photos. And the movie starts off with him at a very horrific crime scene. There's this woman, I don't know, I think she's under a bar and she's just dead. And he just goes right up to her and keeps on shooting. And he doesn't mind dead bodies and he doesn't mind lurid photos because he's the one who takes them. So maybe he's actually losing some of these senses because there is a supernatural force that is working against him or trying to remind him that he should be a little bit more of a human being. Well, this crime photographer also has I don't remember if it's his wife or his lover. Let's just assume it's his wife, and they're trying to, she's wants to actually go to the next phase of their relationship. I believe she works in a hospital and she's a nurse, and she wants him to grow up and trying to tell him like, hey, we need to actually grow up as a couple. We need to possibly start raising a family. But again, this photographer, he's very self-centered, self-serving, and he's all about his career. Now, what happens when all of these photos, when fate yields or turns its ugly head towards him and he starts to, quote, disappear completely? This movie is directed by Luis Javier Hinan. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that last name correctly. My apologies. It hits Netflix on April 12th. Let's start off with Eric Holmes. Your thoughts on Disappear Completely?
This was a pretty good thriller. Up until about, let's see, the halfway point, and then it made some bold decisions, and went from a pretty good thriller to, oh my God, I cannot believe they're getting away with this. I kind of love this. I don't know that we want to get into what that second half is, but it's definitely, yeah, the choices made in the last half really kind of elevates it. I think maybe some it could be seen as a gimmick, perhaps, but it kind of works with the whole theme of the story. It's definitely got a strong Seven vibes, strong To Catch a Killer vibe
Right.
or Misanthrope vibes. It's kind of one of those type of movies, Spanish version of that. But I think this is one of those that it starts off kind of, what you would expect from this kind of movie, and then just goes places where it's like, oh, this is cool. And then I believe, Greg, that was your interview that you did
Yes.
with the director where they explained that. I'm so glad that we got the movie that we got, because I think it just kind of it just brings it from like a, oh, this is a pretty good 3, 3.5 star movie to, oh, this Yeah, you guys went for it, and I appreciate that.
You know what's so interesting, Eric? You mentioned the interview that I did with the director, and Bruce, maybe you can chime in too. Do we have an unfair advantage when we're actually interviewing the director or the writer from a project? Do you think that it ultimately colors our ultimate rating on the movie? Because we get by actually interviewing the people, it's not like I'm not talking about the bias of whether you like them or not, if that colors your reviews, but they give us all that extra information. Like Luis Javier, he gave us like maybe 5 or 6 minutes of talking about the ending. Do you think that influences, does that influence us in general or not?
Typically we watch the movie before we do the interview. So like I was already impressed with it by then. And then here in the interview, it was just cool to see. I probably shouldn't talk about this too
Yeah.
much
Okay.
because
What do you think, Bruce?
spoilers. I'm like riding the line on that.
Do you think convo, is it just human nature for it to influence a final rating, or do you think that's not even, that's neither here nor there, though, that's two separate worlds. We keep se you know, we just keep those things separate.
I mean, it could. It just depends. I mean, in this case, I don't think it did because I was like Eric, I didn't listen to the interview until after I already was really strong on this movie as well. So, but I mean, I guess it could, especially if you were like on the fence on something, it might sway you. Or if you weren't quite getting something, you might give it credit if they kind of explained it to you. But that wasn't the case in this. I also want to say, and I'm not going to give away the spoiler stuff that he talks about at all, but I appreciated the fact that you talked to him also about stuff that he cut out. He talks about that, which is really interesting. But then he kind of says like, yeah, but that stuff didn't make it better. I mean, I could put it somewhere, but it really doesn't make the movie better. That was refreshing to me to hear because so many times you hear like, oh, I couldn't bear to give up this or I couldn't bear to give up that. You know what I mean?
I killed my
Or
darling.
they'll put all the cut scenes on the whatever because I think it's just like this valuable stuff that never got in there. Snyder is a prime example, right? To the nth degree. But he's like, yeah, that stuff probably needed to be cut. It's better without it. So I kind of
Well,
appreciated that.
Snyder seems to be the kind that's like, yeah, I cut all these scenes out that would have made it a good movie, but I left in all the bad stuff. But it's cool. We'll have an extended version that you can watch later.
It's funny. Yeah. So look, disappear completely. Bruce, your thoughts on the movie? Now, it's a slow burn. Eric really described it pretty well in his review. Do you think that slow burn, moody type atmosphere will draw people away from it because it's not like quick cutty or it's not jump scary? It's more of a mood atmospheric thriller.
I don't think that would draw people away because I think if you're into that, you're gonna stay into it. And if you're not, it might win you over, but it might not. You know what I'm saying? I think if anything might be hard for people because it does kind of straddle several different genres. That
Yeah.
could throw some people off because if they want it to be straight up grounded crime thriller procedural, it goes other places that are more in the genre horror realm, and vice versa. If you're a person that just wants a very spooky or scary, supernatural movie, then this movie might be too much the other way for you and more of a, like a procedural. And I kind of had the exact same experience I think that Eric had. Halfway through, I was like, this is pretty good. There's a few things that are slightly tropey, like there's a moment where there's a double dream wake up. And I'm always like, okay, come on now, guys. You don't have to do this double dream wake up. But all of that stuff aged well because as the second half started happening, you could kind of retroactively look at some of those things and go like, okay, well, that was actually in service of what we're going to become. And then
Yes.
also absolutely in lockstep with Eric, the bold choices they made, I thought were absolutely great. And really, sure, are they gimmicky? I don't think so, because what they do is they actually work in the narrative, as a narrative device that kind of works, but they also work thematically and on you emotionally as a watcher, because the things that are happening to you, I'm just kind of leaving it as vague as I can. The way you're experiencing the movie in the second half increases the feelings that they want to increase, this kind of these feelings of dread and suffocation and trapped by his, maybe his fate if he can't get out of it. I'm just kind of leaving it like that. So I think it all works in that effect. Also, things that I considered tropey that annoyed me at the beginning of the movie, like Monday,
All right.
each Tuesday, that actually worked in this movie because when it's the stuff was going on, that timeline actually worked. Look, I put it for a perfect example. That is famously in The Shining. It matters not a bit in The Shining. It really doesn't matter. In this movie, it really matters because everything, the timeline, it is a part of the story. So I give it pretty high marks for all
It's like
that stuff.
the Michael Bay movies when they got the helicopter shot and it's like Los Alamos, 9:35 p.m. I'm like, who gives a crap?
And I was doing that. I was doing that side eye with this at the beginning, and then it was like, oh no, this is actually working on me now. We
I
all
think
start.
the stuff that they do with then also what's so exciting watching that is that it works. There's every possibility that it does not work at all and just tanks a movie. And the fact that it does work, it's like, oh, you're killing it. Yeah, good.
And we're going to, to your point, Eric, we're going to probably see more of those kind of gambles, and they won't work, meaning copycat movies, because they've seen the ending of Disappear Completely, which I think, do you see?
I think this is why people kind of appreciate like movies that kind of swing for the fences and they don't work. It's like I appreciate that they tried. This is just an
Fair.
example where they swung for the fences and it did work.
Fair. That is fair. Now, let's get to ratings on Disappear Completely again, Friday, April 12th. For our Cinematics Patreon listeners, we're going to do a quick mini spoiler after recording this episode. And then on top of that, we'll have Luis Javier Binet talking about the ending, 5 or 6 minutes. And Bruce and Eric, they listen to the interview, so they can attest to Bruce, he really dives deep into the ending, right? So,
Yeah, he didn't have to
definitely.
give you that much at all. He could literally put your interview about the spoilers, just throw it on the Blu-ray. He should.
And
Just a little plug to
he
Cinematics.
should throw it on the Blu-ray. Anyway, so Disappear Completely. All I'm gonna say to this is what Eric and Bruce said. I'm gonna co-sign on it, and I'm giving it 4.5 stars for Disappear Completely. What about you, Bruce Perky?
I am also 4.5 stars, probably because of that first half. It brings it down slightly, but I feel like now watching it again with the knowledge of where it's going, it will probably go up.
Wow. That is really cool. And Mr. Eric Holmes, your rating on Disappear Completely.
Yeah, I'm 4.5 too. Also, room to grow. Like this could be like one of those movies because it has stuck with me, just throughout the week. This is a movie that I could see like maybe getting to the end of the year. Someone would ask how many stars they gave it. I would have had to have given it 5. Like, so it might just be one of those. But yeah, just the it was like kind of a 3.5, 4-star thriller, and then just that ending just took it up a notch for me.
Okay, so that is our ratings for Disappear Completely. 4.5 for me, 4.5 for Bruce. Wait, 4.5 for all of us.
Oh,
Eric has 4.5. Yes, Eric.
and the actual ending, perfect. Like
Yes.
the right before the credits start rolling,
You're like
nailed it. Like, hey, we'll give this a 5.
I know, right? Nailed it. Okay, Bruce and Eric, they'll take a maybe 2 minute siesta while I completely blabber on about this movie starring. Oh, yes, I'm sorry.
One
Bruce,
small
yes, of
thing,
course. Yes,
Eric,
sir.
do we want to talk about dog warning?
Yes, we do. Yes, Bruce, why don't you go for it, Bruce? Go
I would just
for
say Eric likes to bring up warning if there's a dog or an animal in the movie and how
Okay,
beware.
sorry, Eric, go for it. Gonna say something about the dogs?
Yeah, Bruce, go ahead. I might give away too much.
I'll just say if you are really worried about dogs and pets in the movie, you might have a reason to be worried in this movie. It is a horror movie, so know that. I will also say that as worried as I was and how annoyed I am usually, let's just say in this movie, it felt justified and it was important to have happen what happened, I think, for the path of the character.
I think it's also projected enough that you can get up and go to the bathroom and come back and
For sure.
you can
A
see it
hundred
coming.
percent. 100%. And yeah, that is a harrowing moment. Thank you, Bruce and Eric, for mentioning that moment. So yeah, again, be warned. Now, speaking of be warned part two. I don't know if this is Eric and Bruce's movie. It's called Damaged. It's not a story about my life. It's a story about a Chicago police detective played by Samuel L. Jackson. We are introduced to him. He's in a murder scene, and around the murder scene, you can see him. He's a little bit of a drunk in the car. He's drinking like a little what is it? What those mugs? What do they call those? Those
Flasks?
flat. He has a flask,
No.
and you can tell he's a total drunk, total alcoholic. He is haunted by a serial killer who committed murders in his neck of the woods in Chicago several years ago. The catch is that serial killer might still be on the loose, is still on the loose, but not in Chicago, possibly in Scotland, because a series of murders exactly like that those serial killer murders in Chicago, they look exactly alike. So Samuel L. Jackson's character is flown, flies himself to Scotland to team up with a Scottish detective played by Gianni Capaldi, and they try to figure out if this is the serial killer from Chicago, and they're trying to find out what's going on with this killer who is dispatching of just women within the area. So it's Eric mentioned Seven. This has some gory moments. You see dismembered bodies and whatnot. So if that's not your thing for a thriller, if you don't like to see blood, stay away from Damaged. Movie also stars Vincent Cassell. He is the former Chicago cop partner of Samuel L. Jackson's character, and they team up again to try. He tries to help the team solve this serial killer, catch the serial killer, and it also stars John Hannah as one of the primary suspects. Damaged is in theaters and on demand April 12th. I saw this movie. Eric has had a both Eric and Bruce, they've had a really crazy week of watching movies. Eric has done a lot of movie watching. On top of that, he's done a lot of interviews. I have a feeling this might be an Eric Holmes type of movie, either that or he'll be really PO'd by how the movie ends. But let's just say this thriller is very twisty, and I really had a good time watching Damaged. Again, it's on demand in theaters. If you're a fan of Samuel L. Jackson, this is worth watching. The only caveat to this is I mentioned Samuel L. Jackson, Vincent Cassell. You might know him from one of those Ocean's movies, and especially from Lehane or Hate. You might know him from that. John Hannah, I loved him in Sliding Doors. These are all big actors. The biggest actor actually in this movie is Gianni Capaldi. That's his main. He's a Scottish detective. So even though it's billed on the poster, you see Samuel L. Jackson and Vincent Cassell. They do have meaty roles, but the main role is played by the Gianni Capaldi as a Scottish detective. Either way, I really enjoy this movie. For me, this is a solid thriller with a really good ending. What am I going to give it, Eric?
You sir? Oh no, 4 stars.
4 stars for me. No, unfortunately, Eric, that was a trick question. It's a solid thriller right down the middle. 3.5 stars for me for Damaged. Would love to hear what you guys think. Eric and Bruce probably won't get to it, but I will actually spoil the movie for them, and I'll tell them what happens. Bruce is never going to see this movie. If he had to see this movie, he would probably yell at me. So that is it for Damaged. Next up, Bruce and Eric's turn for possibly a more substantial movie. Who knows? It's another thriller, but this is not. I don't think this has anything to do with the serial killer. It's a quote, psychological thriller. In Flames is, quote, a ghostly parable about Pakistan's insidious patriarchal order. It's directed and written by Zarar Khan, whom Eric interviewed earlier this week, I believe. In Flames, Eric, I believe this was the Pakistan's official Oscar entry for this year, official submission. What can you tell our listeners about In Flames? Is this movie worth a watch?
It's definitely not always an easy watch, but it's a good watch. I can see why this was the Pakistani submission or whatever to the International Oscar. It's basically about sexual abuse and just abuse towards women in general. I mean, in the movie, it's in that area, but I think women get abused all over the world. So unfortunately, it's pretty like global story, I suppose. And then it goes other places kind of towards the end. Probably shouldn't get into that part, but it at the heart, it's just about abuse and living with it, and kind of also how a lot of people aren't very like you say someone gets abused, and then the obvious reaction is to react to it like, oh, that's terrible. But when it actually happens, people like to let things go sometimes, and this kind of touches on all that kind of stuff. And oddly enough, it has kind of a Holy Spider kind of mostly a look to it. Look and pacing is Holy Spider. The movie's not at all the same as Holy Spider, but it's got a similar tone and feel to it. But yeah, this is a really good one.
Where's Porky?
Yeah,
What'd
I
you think?
also quite like this movie too. Yeah, unlike Holy Spider, which had a really very straightforward, basic narrative approach, and it had, a serial killer and then the woman who was investigating it as a reporter, and just kind of that built-in tension and her trying to work within that kind of male-dominated system and just the literal threat all the time. And here, there's a literal threat all the time, but it's a much more, I think, sneaky and insidious the way it's presented. Because this is a much more of a, I mean, I guess Eric would be interested in his feedback on this too, because this is kind of presented more like a family drama at first. So, you kind of drop into it, and you have the young woman, Miriam. Did I get that right? I think
Yeah,
it's
Miriam.
Miriam, and I think her grandfather has just died. But the whole idea is that, or has died recently. The whole idea is that, they all live together. Her father has been gone for a long time. She's living with her mother, her brother, and her grandfather. But the grandfather, when we start, has just left the scene. And the idea of what it means to that society to be basically women running the household at this point, there are threats of all kinds of types that you slowly start seeing to their family. Something as simple as their uncle coming back into their family to, quote, help them out, and how that may or may not work out for them. Just little things like there's a moment early on where Miriam is, because she's going to college. So she's getting educated, doing all these things. She's not just, stuck at home, but she's going to college, and she drives the car to college. And how literally her driving her car to college can be a threat to her. And they slowly do this so that as the story goes on, I don't know how you felt, Eric, but I started worrying for her every time she was alone or in a social situation where she was basically just around a man, whether it was someone picking her up in a little, like, what do they call them? Like little
Rickshaw.
scooters, little, yeah, rickshaw, like scooter things, whether it's someone picking up in that, whether it's her just going out with a friend who's a male somewhere, anytime that was happening,
She looks out a window.
yeah, you felt worried for her. And that is just obviously a microcosm of the situation. And yeah, it was, it kind of was one of those movies that slowly snuck into me. At first, I was not sure what it was doing. And by the end, it had kind of really worked its way in pretty well.
All right, so that is in. I wish this movie I had time to actually watch it. It's getting a lot of critical praise. Again, it's directed and written by Zarar Khan. Final thoughts, Eric, and your rating?
I think this one's kind of like right up there with Disappear Completely. It's 4.5, but I mean it sticks with you. And the weird thing is the horrifying things aren't like horror horrifying. It's like mundane things, but it's just like that probably happens a lot in real life. And I think that kind of adds to the and I don't want to say creepiness because it is kind of horror adjacent, so it makes you think that there's like monsters and stuff popping up. And there are, they're just not the monsters you think of. They're humans doing monstrous sort of things. But it's not like, oh, I'm going to kill you. It's just like, I don't know. I'm probably saying too much. But yeah, we'll go 4.5. But this is probably much like Disappear Completely. This is going to be one that I go back and go, I should have just given it a 5.
Bruce.
I'm probably gonna go 4 on this. And once again, the only thing that maybe takes it down slightly for me is I kind of wanted a little more of a strong narrative thread to it. This also could go up with a rewatch because maybe I kind of let that go and just back into that world. Although it's not a very fun world to live in, but it would be, it's a rich world. I'm gonna go 4 stars.
All right, 4 stars for Bruce Perky and 4.5 stars for Eric Holmes for In Flames, specifically in theaters starting April 12th. Finally, for our features, Eric and I, we do this movie, Nicolas Cage. Whenever there's a Nicolas Cage movie, I'm all over it. Eric, you recently saw it. Bruce, I think you might want to see it maybe one of these days if you have a shot. The movie's called Arcadian, set in the near future, and Earth has been taken over by creatures, really creatures who are not very good friends to human beings. And Paul, played by Nicolas Cage, he's the father to two sons. One son is Thomas, played by Maxwell Jenkins, and Thomas is sort of the stronger one of the bunch physically. And then there's Joseph, played by Jaden Martell. Joseph is the brains of the bunch. He's really interested in science or tinkering with things. He has a very good mind. So together they make sort of the perfect kid because Thomas again is the brawn and Joseph is the brain. Paul is the concerned father, and understandably so. Here's the catch. During the day, they can go out and they live in a remote area out in the forest, and they have a house there. It's a little bit boarded up. The reason why it's boarded up, because at night, these creatures come to attack various homes around this area. But during the day, until it gets to dusk, they can collect stuff, collect food, collect supplies for the home, et cetera, et cetera. The catch is, though, if you do not get home by sundown, things can happen. And guess what? That happens. And then we get to see the repercussions of what happens when one of the sons is a little bit late in coming home. That is a premise of Arcadian. Is it a creature feature? Yeah, a little bit. Is it a family drama? Yes. And it's also a coming of age story. Eric, your thoughts on Arcadian?
This is a B horror disguised as an A24 movie, and I kind of appreciate it for that. There's some really stupid things in this. They have two characters, like you said, they're set in the near future, and two characters are sitting there, and it's like, all right, let's play a game. What's that? You got 15 seconds. Explain what happened during the pandemic.
Right.
It's just basically on the nose. We're doing exposition.
Yeah, that's
It
true.
was more or
That's true.
less one. There's some of the geography in the action scenes don't quite make sense,
Okay.
and the stuff that the characters do. So the one son is basically selfish and constantly gets in trouble. And I think that I let that go because that's just the character being the character and just being selfish and putting people in danger. And that's kind of one of the main points of this. So don't give too much knocks against that. But like other stuff characters do, like don't quite make sense. It feels like when they're, and I have no idea if any of this was in the script or not, but it felt like I've read scripts where people would type stuff out and I think in their head it made sense. But like if you were to shoot it, you're like, that's no, that's not how that works. For example, no, that'd be, look, if you can't get through a door, I don't believe you can get in through other means. We'll just leave it there. You know, there's certain like logic things that don't make sense. But again, if I saw this in a B movie, like a trauma movie, I just let it go. The fact that like this looks so good, the designs are amazing. I love those and the effects and everything. It just looks like the story and the characters and stuff should probably be better than it was. I still enjoyed watching it. And actually, this is probably another one of those Quiet Place sort of things. Like the Quiet Place looks real good. I enjoyed watching it, but like going back and thinking about it, I was like, this movie is stupid. But for some reason, I just didn't care. You know, I enjoyed it regardless. It's kind of similar with Arcadian.
The movie starts with Nicolas Cage. He's, I think it feels like almost a one take. It's, you could hear either explosions going off, you hear there's some sort of radio footage, just PSAs, announcements. It sounds like it's sort of an end of the world situation, and it's a one take sequence in the opening, and it ends with him holding these two infants, these two babies. And it's a really great sequence, and it's a great way to open the movie. That's my favorite scene in Arcadian. That's actually my favorite scene because it's a Nick Cage
Oh, mine's
one-er
the
that's really awesome. Yeah. Oh, there's something else. Yeah,
that
there's
was
some.
my favorite one.
Okay, yeah, there's something else. Yeah, Eric was doing something with a hand, but that's not a spoiler because that's a very interesting moment as well. But overall, I was expecting to love this movie. And I think because it's set in the house and there's a section called, I think, Eric, it's like a Rose Farm area. There's another, their neighbors are a little bit far away. And I wish there was a little bit more world building in this movie regarding that Rose Farm and the family and everything. This movie didn't really completely connect with me, but still on the B horror, B thriller, coming of age element, it still is worth a mild recommend for me. Nicolas Cage, very subdued in this film, very good, subdued. But again, it's one of these movies that where I was expecting to just really gobble it up and go crazy over Arcadian. But for me, this was sort of like, yeah, it happened. I liked the performances, the creature design, the production design was fine, but there was just something lacking for me in this movie. I don't know. I don't even know specifically where to put it. It was just felt like almost a near misfire, but I would still mildly recommend Arcadian if you're a Nicolas Cage fan and you want to see him play something different. Again, the two kids, Maxwell Jenkins and Jaden Martell, they're very good in this movie as well. My rating for Arcadian is 3 stars. What about you, Eric?
Well, first of all, with the neighbors, that whole scene doesn't make sense. With
Right.
how they figured out, like, oh, you can stay, but you can't. I'm like, that, what?
Yeah. Yeah.
The part with the hand, that scene was so good until the thing happened. And I'm like,
Right.
no, so many things have to go exactly right for that to happen.
Exactly.
Like it just. It, if this thing like if they tighten up the like all the dumb things, this would have been like a classic horror movie, or if it didn't look so good, Like if it didn't it didn't look so polished and like the filmmaking wasn't great, this would be like a great B movie. Like, watch on Saturday or midnight movie sort of thing. And it's kind of both those things at the same time, which is kind of odd, but at the same time, still enjoyed it. So I'm kind of with you on the 3 stars. Nearly want to go 3-star banger, but I'm really curious what people think of this because there's just some really great stuff in this, and then there's some really dumb stuff in this. So it's kind
Yeah,
of back and forth.
it's still worth a watch, a mild watch. Again, I was disappointed. I was expecting more, but still, I ended up being a mild recommend.
That's just it. I wasn't disappointed. I
You were
still
not
liked
disappointed. Okay,
it.
3 stars for Eric, 3 stars for me. Same rating, different type of reactions for
Yeah.
Arcadian in theaters, exclusively in theaters, April 12th. For this week, for more recommendations, check out our second episode this week, later this week, where we'll also have Eric's interviews and whatnot. So that we're gonna have a little episode later this week, but we're gonna end up with a recommend this week from Bruce Perky to wrap up the show. What is it, Bruce?
I finally caught up with The Zone of Interest, Jonathan Glazer's newest movie, which, when you say that, his newest movie in the last, what, 10 years or whatever it's been since he made a movie. He's only made 4 movies, I think, in his career, starting in the, what, 99 or early thousands. So he's very seldom to make movies.
Oscar
This is a
winning, right?
movie, I believe it won Oscar for, was it
Screenplay?
for
Screenplay? Or director?
screenplay or
I'll
probably
look it
not
up.
screenplay. I think it was sound, probably sound design or something, but I'm not sure. I don't remember. He did run, he, you know, he did a famously, he did an Oscar speech, which kind of got a lot of controversy. This is a movie I was looking forward to watching, but I also figured like, this is going to be this really esoteric, very artsy movie that I'll probably like. Okay. But I'll probably like it pretty well, but it still somehow, with all the talk I'd heard about it and all the acclaim I heard about it still blew me away. I was quite blown away by this movie to the point that I don't think I even watched a movie the next day. I usually watch a movie about every day. I didn't watch a movie the next day because I was literally just deep diving on everything about the actual events around this and just how he filmed it and all the stuff. I was just telling people who like movies, I know it looks like a slog. I know it looks like, hey, it's a lot of people doing nothing and we're just watching them and the only thing that matters is they're next door to a concentration camp. That's the gimmick. But there's something about the experience and the way it's presented that is freaking amazing. It's absolutely mind-blowingly amazing, I think.
Bruce, you were talking, sorry, Bruce, you were talking about to the point visually, it's you feel like you're a fly on the wall, and it's the way you were
Yes.
telling me how it was shot, and it's really
Yeah.
interesting.
Yeah, you can watch a few things. There's a few YouTube videos and things where they kind of show how it was shot and how it was done. But the basic concept is he would put like up to 10 cameras around that part of the set and have them all remotely tethered so that basically he could sit with a whole monitor bay and the actors literally just walk through the house and there's no, and the microphones are mounted the same way and they use natural lighting for literally just about everything. It was just the actors on the set reacting and acting in the space and no crew essentially there until they had to do another setup. And a lot of these setups didn't require another setup. And I started wondering probably about an hour into it, or not even an hour into it, probably about a half hour into it. I started wondering like, wait, how are they filming this? Because you get this weird effect. And he even described it. He said it's like Big Brother. He filmed it. He approached the actual camera placements like Big Brother, because you'll see these shots where you'll see, the commandant, which is Rudolf Hess, real life person, the real life commandant of Auschwitz. Rudolf Hess, played by Christian Friedel or Friedel, if I'm saying the name right. You see him walking, and then the next shot pops up, and he's walking around the corner to the hallway, and another shot walks up, and it's at the end of the hallway, and he's walking down the hallway. Another shot pops up, he turns the corner. So you're literally following camera to camera to camera, and it feels like it's live cuts of live action, and essentially that's what it was. So that was all amazing. And then even on top of that, just the way this is scripted, because sure, this is like a day in the life, right? And the incredible irony of that is part of the story. But there is a progression in this movie as well. And it's all through tiny details. And I don't want to talk about the details because discovering those details is simultaneously horrifying and amazing. the way you're kind of given breadcrumbs, and Hansel and Gretel is a good approach because Hansel and Gretel is brought up in this movie. You're giving breadcrumbs to kind of understand, like, oh, something as simple as you'll see somebody sorting through clothes, like laundry, but then you discover what that actually is and what that means, and you're like, oh, holy crap. And there's a bunch of those scenes in the movie. And on top of that, the other thing I'll bring up, well, there's the interstitials. There's these two or three little segments in there, sequences that are done in this weird night photography, this
Right.
like night vision photography. Those are amazing and interesting and
Scary.
weird and fascinating, scary. The whole movie's scary though. And
Yeah.
you got to mention Sandra Hüller, who we always saw in Anatomy of a Fall earlier in the year. She might even be better in this. I mean, it's possible she's better in this than she was in that. She doesn't, she is one of the most horrifying characters ever put on film. And she doesn't do a thing overtly violent. But what she does and the way she interacts with the world is horrifying. It's
Absolutely right.
in a way that is just unfathomable. And then the last thing is the production detail in this movie. That's for me deep diving. The production detail in this movie is impeccable. And you can find photos of the real house, parts of the real house. You can find photos of the actual yard. You can find photos of the actual pool. And if you've seen the movie, you know what the pool is, the actual garden, the actual people. So you kind of get a feel like, oh, they weren't just making this up for dramatic purposes. This is what was there. I mean, sure, they're making up the actual interactions. They don't know those. And then I would add one other little supplement, and then I'll shut up. I'll just say this is 5-star masterpiece, classic, easy. Probably would have definitely been in top five for me last year. Might have been number one. I don't know. It would have been in the running. There is, I lost my train of thought for a second there. Oh, the last thing is supplement. I think The Guardian did this. There is an interview.
Good
Did you
job,
see
Bruce.
that? I posted
Yeah,
that.
thank you, Bruce, for that. Yeah.
Yes.
Go for
The
it.
Guardian did an interview with one of the daughters. So in this movie, the family is Rudolph and Hedwig. They are the mother and father. And then they had, if I remember correctly, it was two or three daughters and a baby. The youngest living daughter that would remember anything, because the baby obviously doesn't remember anything. The youngest living daughter, before she died in like 2021, gave an interview. And there's an article on there. You can read it. And if you read the final quotes of that interview in that
That's
Guardian
tough.
article,
That's tough. Yeah.
after watching this movie, you're like,
Wow.
holy crap.
Wow.
Nothing has changed in whatever 70 years, whatever it is since then.
I thought I was good at the compartmentalizing things, but my goodness, Bruce.
It's quite something. I think this is a movie, you know, this is the kind of movie you say, like, I'll watch it once and it's amazing, but I'll never watch it again. I think I will watch this movie again. I think there is something impeccable. There is something filmmaking wise that is absolutely stunning in this movie. I can't talk about it enough.
And look, here's the prohibitive thing with the zone of interest is a lot of people will say, oh, because like you were saying, Bruce, it is seems to be arty. It won the Oscar for Best International Feature Film. Okay. So you're thinking, oh, and
So
the
did
subject
Parasite.
matter, what?
So did Parasite.
Right, exactly. But so, and the actual subject matter, highly prohibitive if you don't want to see something tragic, right? So many things. I think you mentioned Big Brother. I think the way to pull in cinephiles or just people who want to be that fly on the wall is this feels like you're really peeking into people's lives. You're really seeing their day-to-day existence and you feel very locked in. It doesn't feel, I don't know how to say it, it doesn't feel very cinematic. It feels very lived in and very, there is a tour of the garden sequence, which to me was a horrific experience for me to watch. Because everything seems so normal, so no, pretty much seems so normal. So I'm even stumbling for words. It's one of these things
Yeah.
where it's very hard. It's very immersive to watch, but it's also very hard to watch. It's just a very high level of conflicting feelings. And this was one of my tops from last year. So
Yep.
yeah.
Last thing I would say, and I didn't really talk about it, everyone talks about the sound stuff in here, which is spot on. I would say the one advantage that it's available now streaming is that anyone and everyone can watch this with headphones. I pretty much watch all my movies with headphones anyway because I like that immediacy. This movie, I'd say it's crucial. So seeing it in the theater, I'm sure, was quite impactful with a good sound system and all that. But having it putting everything right into your head through headphones is part of this experience, which I think you should have.
Okay. All right. Okay. So I had no idea. Maybe I'll do a rewatch with my headphones for the Zone Avengers and eventually Eric
It's a
Holmes.
lot.
I know Eric Holmes. Maybe is this a movie that you might want to see down the road as well?
Yeah, I'll probably watch it this week.
He sounds so unconvinced. I mean,
No,
I
you
could
don't have to
well,
convince either
I was
way.
gonna watch this one anyway, but I didn't get through the hip hop witch, so
Priorities.
It's
I
a
might have tried the hip hop witch first too.
so funny. Well, Eric Holmes, that does not need convincing. It's obviously directed by Jonathan Glazer, so he's gonna watch it. So that is it for our recommends. We are kicking the can on Bruce. Can you mention the box movie you're going to cover next week?
Yeah, Taika Waititi's Boy, which actually isn't streaming anywhere, I don't think. I
Do you
have
want
to
to do a
look.
reroll on your What's in the Box?
But we'll see. I'm gonna see if I can come up with it before then. If I do, then I think you can get it on Canopy, which I can't get. So if I can't find it easily,
Looks like Fandango at Home
which I don't
from
have,
$2.99 or Apple TV for $3.99.
I can also do
And
I
I
can do
think,
Canopy.
oh, here, let's check Just Watch.
This is
Oh,
great use of our pod
Canopy,
time.
Plex,
Canopy.
and Showtime with
It says it's
subscriptions.
on Showtime, but it's not really there. I tried that.
Oh,
Anyway,
is it a different movie called Boy, maybe?
yeah, I don't know. It
All
wasn't
right.
there. Either way, I'll figure it out in the next couple days. And if I don't find it right away, I might re-roll it. Either way, we'll get something from the box by next week. So.
All right, cool. So these are all the movies that are coming out April 12th, plus our recommend, Bruce's recommend of the Zone Adventures. Remember, stay tuned for our next episode, which should be dropped this Friday, and that will feature Eric's interviews for the week. We'll talk about it on that second episode, and we'll have some more recommends as well. Final thoughts, Eric Holmes.
Covered some bangers. The worst movie that we covered was Arcadian, but I still think that's worth watching. I'd be very curious to see what other people think of it,
Okay.
because I really enjoyed it. I think people might like it a lot more than I did. Maybe not pick up all the stupid things I did, but who knows? Maybe they hate it more than I do. I have no idea, but there's some really good stuff in, and that's the worst movie that we covered today, today. So that's looking pretty good if that's the case.
Pretty strong week, Eric Holmes. Bruce Perky, final thoughts.
I would just say that we got some interesting movies coming up next week, but if a movie called The Coffee Table sounds boring, buckle up. You don't know what you're in for.
Buckle up, bleepo. So yeah, I was gonna say the actual bad word, but okay, the coffee table. I have not seen it. Eric hasn't seen it. Bruce is
Cool.
giving a teaser for the coffee table. Yes.
They released the trailer for The Last Stop in Yuma County. We're not covering that for probably
Not
another
yet.
couple weeks, but get excited. We'll just say that.
Okay.
I almost watched it and I saw it's going the further down the road and I was like, I better wait because my brain will lose it. So I'm gonna watch it like in a week or so.
Yeah, definitely. All right. That being said, thank you guys so much for supporting us here on Cinematics and of course.
Goodbye, everybody. Thank you for joining Cinematics.